self-righteousness. You know, I believe I'm a pretty good guy. I hadn't done anything really bad that I know of. I've always tried to be a good person, tried to pay my bills, and I've tried to help folks where I could. I don't know why God would be displeased with me. I think I'll do all right when I stand before God. I think God will look at me and say, you know, he's a pretty good person. So I don't know why would I need. I don't think you got to have religion as long as you're just a good person. And you talk to my neighbors, talk to my mother, she'll tell you I'm a good person. So, you know, self-righteousness. You're righteous in your own eyes. But what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, let's look at some questions tonight. Number one, I'm doing fine, so why do I need God? Well, what does the Bible say? Look at Mark chapter 10. And look at verse 18. Jesus is speaking to a young man that was a very, very fine specimen of a young man. When you read about him, I dare say you don't measure up to him. I don't. Let's look at verse. He says, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Lord, I won't go to heaven. So what I need to do? He said, so Jesus tested him. How well do you understand who it is you're speaking? He says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Do you understand that Jesus is God? Or do you think he's just a good prophet, good preacher? He said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witnesses, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Who in here can claim that? Anybody in here that can honestly say that you've kept every one of these commandments from the time you were young? Especially when you really understand what these commandments teach. Nobody. And you notice Jesus didn't say, you're lying. I mean, this was a fine young man here. He said, in matter of fact, it says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. You see, he could see what was the one thing that was standing between him and God. What was that one thing? It was his money. Money. Some folks it's their hobby. Some folks it's their friends. Some people it's your occupation. Some people it's just their selfishness. They don't want to give up time for God. But this young man's problem was his money. And of course Jesus could see it just as clearly as you can see the print on the page in front of you. He can read the heart, can't he? We can't do that. That's why the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. That means motives. We can't judge your heart. We can only see your fruit. Jesus said to him, he said, one thing thou lackest. He said, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying. The young man was heartbroken at this. And he went away from Jesus grieved. I mean, with a heavy heart. He came with such enthusiasm. He came running to Jesus. He so wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And yet he realized that if it comes down to that, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. For he had great possessions. Now, turn to Romans chapter 3. So here, if a person's self-righteousness could be sufficient, we could surely nominate this young man, couldn't we? Because he'd kept all the commandments from his youth. If it possible to be good enough to get to heaven, he would have been there, wouldn't he? Not even he could make it. Where does that leave you and me? Look at Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 10, Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So there is nobody. And because we have Scripture, we know something. When we knock on a door, we know something. We know the person on the other side of that door is just like us. They're sinners. And their only hope of ever getting to heaven is through Jesus. And if they're willing to admit their need, if they're willing to admit I'm a sinner, then that makes them a candidate for the new birth. They can receive the gospel then. But until they're willing to acknowledge that they even have a need, then there's no gospel available to them. All right? So we've got, the first thing is to recognize we have a need. And so it says there is none righteous, no, not one. So from this we learn. No one is good enough in themselves to meet the standards of a holy God. Nobody. Not even this young man who kept the Ten Commandments consistently from his youth. Not even he could muster enough holiness to stand in the presence of Almighty God. So, no one is good enough in themselves to meet the standards of a holy God. All right? Number two, if I live by the golden rule, is that enough to go to heaven? I mean, if I live by it, I mean, if I live by it. Now, the golden rule refers to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Two problems with that. Number one, that makes you the standard, doesn't it? You determine what is acceptable or not acceptable based on what you like. You do to people what you'd like for them to do for you. And so that you're setting the standard, you're setting the qualifications for entrance into heaven. And of course, that's not up to you to do, is it? But number two, do you really practice that golden rule 100% of the time consistently? Huh? I doubt that you do. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. If you intend to earn salvation based on your own merits, on your goodness, on your good works, if you intend to go that route, then here's what you must be prepared to do. If you're going to stand before God and say, God, I deserve heaven based on my goodness, based on my works, on my behavior, I have been good enough, lived good enough, that I ought to go to heaven because of the person that I am. If you're going to go that route, then you do need to know what the requirements are going to be for that. And so look at Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, if you're going to go by the law, then the law itself is going to be a curse for you. Why? Because it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Now, if you're going to go that route, here's the standard. You've got to be absolutely perfect. You don't get to miss one point. You can't even miss one point one time. I mean, if you lived perfectly 99.99.99.9% of the time, but one time back in 1974, a bad thought got in your mind for just a second, and you kicked that sucker out of there. But since then, you've been condemned, and you are condemned. So if you're going to go that route, you have to absolutely be perfect forever. That's not going to happen, is it? Not going to happen. Turn to James chapter 2. Now these studies make excellent. We're talking about witnessing to people and talking to people. And if you'll keep these studies down and make the notes and go back and review them and where that you're comfortable with them, these are the way that you answer someone who's hung up on this. All right? You ever talk to somebody who just believed they weren't all that bad? This is how you respond to that. Now, turn to James chapter 2 and look at verse 10. James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point," just one point, "he is guilty of all of it." Well, I don't understand that, really. So you get before the judge and you stole one horse? But check my record. I've never stolen anything else. Never been in trouble before. I just stole one horse. Now the judge may grant leniency, but our system does not say it's okay for you maybe just steal a horse occasionally. No, you're not supposed to steal a horse at all. Never. Ever are you supposed to steal a horse or somebody's dog? Where I grew up in Arkansas, you could get in bad trouble for stealing chickens. Amen? Man, them are that's laying hens. And folks get serious about that. My point is that if you're going to live by the golden rule, you're going to have to be perfect. So from this we learn, number one, if we intend to go to heaven on our own merits, the price is absolute perfection. Write that down. If we intend to go to heaven on our own merits, then here's the price, absolute perfection. You can't go and measure it by people, everybody around you. Just as long as I'm a little better than the guy next door, I'm okay before God. God doesn't grant that way. He doesn't judge by consensus. There's a standard of absolute holiness. All right? And so, number two, all who have committed sins are already under the penalty of sin. Already. So if you have broken one law, if you've committed one sin, you are already condemned under the law of sin. Amen. How many of you realize you're already in trouble? Raise your hand. Everybody is. All right, so number one, if we intend to go to heaven on our own merits, the price is absolute perfection. Number two, all who have committed sins are already under the penalty of sin. Number three, I believe I'm okay with God, so why do I need to become a Christian? I mean, I think he and I kind of got a thing going. And, listen, I may not go to church and I may not be a Christian in the way that you folks think, but me and God, we got our own thing. Well, turn to John chapter 3. Isn't there a scripture that says something along the lines that God is no respecter of persons? What's that mean? That means you don't get any special privileges, buddy. You just like me. I'm just like you. I need the same grace and forgiveness that you need, and you need the same that I need. And I don't know where you got your information, but you didn't get it out of the Bible that God has given you a special okay to write your own plan. But look at what it says in John chapter 3, and look at verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the key to have everlasting life is what? All right, to believe, accept the Son. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So from this we learn God's promise of eternal life is only extended to those who believe in Jesus. All others are condemned already before God. Is that what the verse says? Is that what it teaches? So God's promise of eternal life only extends to those who believe in Jesus. All others are condemned already before God. So if you think that you and God have got this little pact going and he's given you an okay to omit Jesus from the whole thing, you're badly mistaken. God does not contradict his word. All right? Okay, number four. Well, okay, if I clean up my life and live right, will that not be enough to go to heaven? I realize I've messed up, but I've done a lot of changing. I'm not the guy that used to be. You can talk to my wife. She'll tell you I'm a different person. I used to do this. I used to, like the guy said, I used to drink and cuss and run around with them wild women. Since I got saved, I've quit most of that. But if I clean up my life, if I live right, would that not be enough to go to heaven? Well, what does the Bible say? Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 20. And look at verse 9. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say that? I've made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. That's impossible. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles. Just giving you some scripture tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Look at verse 36. If they sin against thee, and then notice what it says in parentheses, for there is no man which sinneth not. Now from this we learn, no matter how hard we try, no one is without sin. We need daily cleansing. You've needed cleansing today. So have I. It wasn't that I used to be this way, but now I'm just absolutely perfect. In addition to being naive, you're a liar too, aren't you? Nobody's there, is it? But we're not going to deal with that in this, but if you could straighten up and walk perfect from this day forward, never sin again, could you go to heaven? No. Why? Because somebody has got to pay for the debt of sin from this day backwards. Because if there's one on the record, you're condemned. So even if it were possible that you could become an angel and never ever have a bad thought, never do something you shouldn't do or fail to do something you ought to do, even if that were possible, your past would condemn you. All right? So no matter how hard we try, no one is without sin. We need daily cleansing. Number five, why do I need Christ? I've made my peace with the man upstairs. Why do I need him? Well, what does the Bible say? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. I've got my own religion. There's lots of out there, and I've got my own thing. And I relate to God my own way. And just as long as God and I are together, I don't see where I have to be involved with Jesus. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, who are we talking about? By him to reconcile all things unto himself. What's reconcile mean? Bring together. All right. Restore back. All right. He says, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Do you know that God has created an entire host of creation? Do you also know that everything God has created is dependent on Jesus? Whether it's a bird in the air, a beast in the field, a fish in the sea, whether it's an angel, everything depends on Jesus. You know, this world itself is cursed, but one day a renovating fire is going to sweep through and restore not just this planet, but the whole system. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And all of that's because of Jesus. The sin of man affected what God had made, but the righteousness of the God-man perfects everything that God has made. And so, he tells us here that through his cross, he said, verse 21, and said, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Kind of see where Jesus fits into that, don't you? Turn to John 10. You think you're going to find a way to heaven without going through the cross? John 10. Look at verse 9. John 10, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is what? The door. Pope says he's got the keys. We got the door. Amen? Jesus is the door. You're not going there except through the door. All right, so from this we learn Christ's death provides the only way for fallen man to come to a righteous God. It's the blood of the cross that atones for our sins. Christ's death provides the only way for fallen man to come to a righteous God. All right, last one, number six. Are Christians better than non-Christians? Are Christians better than non-Christians? Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I think there may be a misprint, but look at verse 9. Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No. In no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that all are under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Look in chapter 6 and look at verse 23. For the wages of sin, what's wage? Your payment, your earnings. Here's what you're going to get for your labor. What you're going to get for your sin is death. And death in the Bible doesn't mean just close your eyes and be buried in the ground. It means downhill all the way to a burning hell. For the wages of sin is death, but, boy, I'm so glad that is there. The gift of God is eternal life through Muhammad. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through the Baptist church or the baptistry or doing good works or being the son of. It's through Jesus. All right? Look at Romans chapter 10. Are Christians better than non-Christians? Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 3. Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Isn't that what we're talking about? Self-righteousness, my righteousness. I don't need God's. I don't have to have God's. I don't have to rely on what somebody else did 2,000 years ago. I'm trying to live good myself. Okay? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It all comes down to you're not willing to submit to God's plan. You're not willing to accept what God's offering. You want to substitute your own. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His righteous. So from this we learn, are Christians better than non-Christians? Christians are no better than anyone else, but they are better off. Okay. We're no better, we're no more deserving, not a one of us deserve heaven, but we don't go to heaven because we deserve it, we go to heaven because we accepted God's righteousness as our substitute instead of our own. And if you insist on doing it your way, presenting your righteousness, you're going to stand before a holy, almighty God with this standard. If I find one place you messed up, you're totally contaminated. We're not any better than anybody else, but we're a heap bunch better off, amen, because we've accepted God's plan. Let's bow our head tonight. In a moment, we're going to stand. Maybe tonight someone here, and you never quite looked at it this way. Maybe you have tended to trust more on yourself, trying to be a good person. You're realizing tonight that's not the way to heaven. It's through Jesus. And maybe tonight you need to come and say, I need to be saved. Or maybe tonight you're burdened for somebody that you're praying for and you want to come and pray for them. Or just have a need to come to the altar, whatever that is. When I say stand, would you come? Let's stand, and would you come tonight?